Hey everyone, welcome back to the Time for Truth, a radio ministry of New Testament Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning in, and we pray you are blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Today's message is brought to you by Brother Larry Lafferty.
If you have your Bibles with you, we'd ask you to turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 47, and we're going to begin reading in verse 5. Genesis chapter 47, beginning in verse 5. The Bible says, "And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell in the land of Goshen. Let them dwell, and if thou knowest any men of the activity among them, make them rulers over my cattle." I'd like to preach, Lord being my helper this evening, on the thought, our need is a Savior. Dear Lord, we thank you for your goodness and watch care. Lord, we thank you for your blessings on this church. Lord, we thank you for your word, what it means to us, and how it stirs us up to your service. Lord, give us a bravery and encouragement, Lord, tonight to preach your word as it's written. Never let us be shy and not boastful to do that, Lord. We pray tonight that you would bless it according to your mercy and grace. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, fairly familiar verses of Scripture if you know your Bible. And let me say this concerning needing a Savior, that if you need one, first of all, there has to be a genuine threat. You don't need a Savior if things are safe. If things are okay, you don't need any help. Now, with that said, let me say that's where most of us put ourselves most of the time, is in a position where we don't need anything anyway. Also, to need a Savior, that individual that you call upon must have the authority and the ability to do that. If he can't help you, if he can't change things, if it's not an individual that can save you, why would you call upon him? They have to have the ability to do it. And then lastly, they have to have the authority to do it. You know, I may want to do nursing in another state, but if it is not what's called a compact state, even though I am a nurse, I don't have the authority to do it in that state. So for an individual to be a genuine Savior, he has to be doing all three. Now, with that said, the threat in this day was the famine. If you know your Bible, you know that Joseph had been warned by the Lord, or Pharaoh had been warned by the Lord God that a drought was coming like never had been to man. And he had a dream concerning the drought. He presented the dream to Joseph, and Joseph, by the hand of God, told him exactly what was going to happen. By that, Joseph was raised to a seat of authority in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh, and there we find him intervening for the very family that banished him. And the very ones that hated him, he's now the giver of their life. Verse 5, "And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee." Now I want you to see the person that has the authority to deliver here is Pharaoh. He is the leader. He is the ruler of all the known world at that time. The Pharaoh, in one sense, is a... And I know how wicked the later Pharaohs were, but I'm just saying, as far as his seat of authority, he was like unto God. Joseph was like unto Christ, because he was a Jew, and he was second in command. He was part of both realms. Just like God, the Lord Jesus Christ was every bit God and every bit man, we have Joseph as an intercessor on the children, for the children of Israel. And then finally, we have the nation of Israel, 70 souls that went down into Egypt, and those are the individuals that were saved. They needed something they could not get themselves. And so we see what each piece is. Verse 6, we see the blessing, and the land of Egypt is before thee. Now, if you know your Bibles, you know that they came down and they were willing to give everything they had simply for food. Now, there's not one of us under the sound of my voice tonight that has not had a good meal today. And one of the reasons you had it was the availability of it. Now, we always think about the money, but listen, when there's no food to buy, what good is money going to be to you? This was a different situation. It wasn't that, listen, in fact, Israel's family was actually pretty wealthy. But the money did them no good. They had no ability to buy it because it wasn't there. Let me say this, you cannot buy salvation. You cannot jump into the program on your own. You have to have an advocate. You have to have someone to go before you. And so we see that the land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land, make thy father and thy brethren to dwell. Now I want you to see that they were getting the very best of the very best that Egypt had to offer. They were getting the best farmland, the only tillable land that was even available in this drought, the only area that was preserved, they were getting that. You know what? For God's people, there is always a place that He sets for them. It may not be that, and listen, I'm not preaching health and wealth. You know what? It may well be that we get a little bit fleshly hungry before the end comes, but I know we'll be spiritually sustained. And so I want you to see they were getting the best of the best by the hand of God through Pharaoh. He'll use whatever he wants to use. Then I want you to see that it says, and if thou knowest any man of the activity among them, make them rulers over my cattle. Now, incredible thing that the Lord had placed them in, even the ruling over the stock of Egypt. Verse 7, Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Now I want you to see, here comes Jacob and he goes down before the Pharaoh and offers a blessing on him by the Lord God. Verse 8, and Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. So I want you to see that they approached the unapproachable. They approached Pharaoh, and Pharaoh blessed them greatly. He sustained them when no one else could. I want you to drop down with me to verse 13. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. Now, I want you to see God's people are preserved. They're in the land of Goshen. They have everything they need. They're even in positions of authority. God had preserved them. This is all the other people. Every other person in the known earth, all those individuals did not sustain. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore. So the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of famine, and Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they had bought, and Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. Now, I want you to see all these other individuals, their first thought was money. All right, we have a year of drought. We'll deal with it our way. And that's the thought of most concerning salvation today. If they ever consider the horribleness of their sin, they'll say, I'll handle it my way. Yeah. But I want you to see that did not work. They sold everything they had, and in a year's time, they were back right where they started. You know, the ideas of man's salvation goes about that far. You say, Brother Larry, Can I know that I'm saved? I surely, yes, you can know that you're saved. But I'll say this. If you go back time and time and time again to the world, I'd make my calling and election sure. You see, they had ran out along the way. They got a year's food, supply of food. They ran out. You know what? The great fountain of our Lord Jesus Christ never runs out. So if you're not sustained by it, you might ought to have to look at yourself and be certain that you have what you think you have. And so they ran out. God's provision never runs out. They ran out. And the money failed in the land of Egypt. Again, verse 15, the money failed in the land of Egypt. You know, if you wake up one day and the currency's been replaced with an international currency, your American greenbacks are going to mean nothing, right? And it is a very realistic thing that could happen. And when the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, and all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, "Give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence for the money that faileth?" And Joseph said, "Give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if money fails." So they're out of money. Joseph says, "All right, give me all your cattle. Give me your things. Give me what you have." And you know what? They did it. They give him those things. But you know what the problem was? In a year, they were out again. They no longer had any sustaining. That is not salvation. That's just going week by week. And then finally, and we won't read it for time's sake, you can continue on there. And finally they said, "We'll give ourselves to slavery, because what good is it if we die?" And so all those people around Egypt, not it would be years before the Jews became slaves, but all those people sold themselves just for something to eat. Is that salvation? Certainly not. It's a works-based thing. They continued to run out and to run out and to run out, and finally they give them, you know what? Sin will consume you. Whatever sin you get involved with, it will consume you. I've heard people, and you know, watch people who make the brag, "I will never do that." You know what? Watch out, because you're setting yourself up for it. You're setting yourself up for it. And if you let Satan in that much, he will take the whole house. You know, people I know sometimes think that all I know to preach is separation. You know why I preach on it so much? Because if you give the devil that much, he'll take as much as he wants. He only needs that much of your home to consume your home. He only needs that much. He needs one person in your family to consume your family. So we see that man's idea, what did they need? Did they need a bucket of wheat to do them for a few days? Did they need a bucket of wheat to do them to the next time around? No, what they needed was a Savior. You know what your need is? It's a Savior. You know, it never ceases to amaze me that those of us who say we're saved never praise Him for it. We never say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." And you know why? I think we've just become accustomed to it. I think it's just become routine. You know, really, that's what revival is all about. It's remembering how great a thing that He did in your life. You want revival? You remember what He did for you, and you remember your uselessness before Him, and no doubt you'll get revival. So we need salvation. We need salvation from ourselves. Look with me in Psalms 34, very quickly. Psalms 34, verse 6. Psalms 34. 4, verse 6, the Bible says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles." Now, this is a psalm of David. I want you to see, he says, "This poor man cried." Now, I don't exactly know when and where in his life that David penned this psalm, but was he always poor? He became one of the most wealthy men on earth. You know what? I believe he can still consider himself poor, don't you? And he was. Every one of us tonight, irregardless of our bank accounts, we're poor. We're very, very poor. If Christ doesn't intervene, there's no hope for us. If Christ doesn't intervene, there's nothing that can be done. The poorness that David was writing here of, I don't think he meant monetarily. I believe he saw himself for what he was. This poor man cried. Now, let me ask you this, and I don't know if it was weeping. I don't know if he means he was shouting out as he cried. But today, in this time, how many times have you cried out to the Lord? Either way, have you shed tears for this service? This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now, that's the type of deliverance we want. And I say that to say this, David wasn't asking for redemption. In this case, he was under the gun. In this case, he was running from Saul. So did he really want the kind of salvation that brings life? Did he really want the type of salvation that redeems a soul? No, he wanted deliverance. That's what he wanted. And listen, there's nothing wrong with it. There's been times when I cried out for deliverance. I wanted to go on living. I had some things that I felt like still needed to be done. I have cried out to the Lord and He'd been faithful to that. But don't ever mess that up with salvation. That doesn't mean that you're redeemed. There's a saving of the flesh, many times he's good to give us that, but that is not equated to the saving of a soul. And so we see that as well. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, in the New Testament. Mark 16, verse 16. Mark 16, verse 16. The Bible says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned." Now the Lord Jesus Christ in His earthly ministry, this is the Great Commission as it's presented in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, the very same account of the very same thing. Here we find that the Lord says, "He that believeth and is baptized." Now, Church of Christ people and others, believers of baptismal salvation, jump on that and say, "Oh, look what it's saying." But read the rest of the sentence. "He that believeth and is baptized, the same shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." Did it say that he that believeth not and is baptized not? No, it's belief. Now listen, I'm as sovereign grace can get. But salvation is very simplistic, is it not? Do you believe? Do you believe? "He that believeth shall be saved." Is it a miraculous work? You bet it is. Is it completely a work of God? Yes, it is. Is it as simple as faith and trust? You better believe it. It is all three in one. It is the divine act of God, and it is simple as believing Christ is who He said He was. That is salvation. And so we see that as well. Go with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. I love the Gospel of John. It presents our Lord Jesus Christ as God Himself in the flesh. John chapter 10, verse 9. John chapter 10, verse 9. The Lord Jesus says, "I am the door. I am the door." Now tonight when we came into Wednesday evening services, did anybody climb up these windows? The lowest window to the ground in this building is the one back there in the nursery, and it's still about 8 feet above my head. Did anybody come in through the windows tonight? No, certainly not. We came in through the door, did we not? You know how you will come unto salvation? Through the door, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not come by baptism. You will not come by church membership. You will not come by saying the sinner's prayer. You will come by Christ. And if you come up any other way, what did the Bible say concerning those that would come a different way? It said they were thieves and robbers. And so we see then the Lord Jesus Christ makes it very clear in His very own ministry, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, by Christ, through Christ, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now I want you to notice two things. Number one, if you come in by Christ, you will be saved. And a lot of people say, see, you can go in and out. That's what the General Baptist and the Free Willers say. You can go in and out and be saved and lose it. No, no, that means you have the freedom to go and preach the gospel. It means you have the freedom to go in and out and share the Lord Jesus Christ literally with the whole world. And notice what it says, and ye will find pastures. That means if I go to the nation of Thailand, somewhere there will be a people for me. That means if I go south of here to the next three counties over, that there will be pasture there for me. There will be a nurturing for me. He is salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is salvation. I want you to see in each of these instances, never is a sinner's prayer ever mentioned. If all you have is a sinner's prayer, my dear friend, make your calling and election sure. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. Peter's incredible message. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. And it came to pass... And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, does that sound Arminian to you? Well, it doesn't to me because I just read it from the Bible, did I not? Yeah. Now, this is the thing. Only those that are His will call out. Now, let me say this. When it said calling on Him, did it say, let me invite Jesus into my heart? No. Did it say, let me run you down the Romans road? Mm-mm. It says, who shall call on His name? Who shall call out, that individual will be saved. Now, let me say this. He begins in a very effectual work in those that belong to Him, and they will cry out to Him as their Savior. They will cry out to Him for redemption. Acts chapter 2, drop down to verse 47. Praising God, meaning of the church there at Jerusalem, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. Now, I inserted that very quickly just to say this. Which came first? He added to the church those that were saved. In other words, church is not the door to salvation. They weren't going to the church to be saved. They were saved and then they were added to the church. So tonight, if you're trusting church membership, my dear friend, you better make your calling and election sure. You better be sure that you have what you say you have, because salvation is nothing but of the grace of God. And so we see that as well. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now I want you to notice two things. First of all, neither is there salvation in any other. In other words, there's not salvation in Billy Graham. There's not salvation in Larry Lafferty. There is not salvation in the Pope at Rome. Salvation in no other. There is no other name salvation comes from but the Lord Jesus Christ. I also want you to see that we must be saved. If you're coming any other way, you're not saved. If you're thinking back on inviting Jesus into your heart, you better look at that real closely. You better look at that real closely. If you're thinking back to the time you said a sinner's prayer, you better look at it real closely. Because the only thing it says, the name whereby we will be saved. Salvation is work of God, not a work of man. Acts 15, verse 11. Let's go to Acts 16, verse 30. Acts 16, verse 30, I will insert here just above this is the salvation of Lydia. Very meek, humble woman, which only the Bible only says of her, whose heart the Lord opened. That was her salvation. No bells and whistles, no drums, no lights. Just simply the Lord Jesus Christ opening her heart, and she became a devoted servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the salvation of Lydia. The Philippian jailer, Acts 16, verse 30, the Bible says, and brought them out, the Philippian jailer bringing Paul and Silas out, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Now in that, do you see baptism? In that, do you see a sinner's prayer? In that, do you see Paul urging them to invite Jesus into their heart? All it says is believe. Childlike faith, believe. Trust Him. That's all it says. And then notice what it says. And he took the same, and verse 32, and they spake unto him all the word of the Lord to all that were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. Now, I want you to notice a couple things. First of all, right, that all his family did hear the gospel. It says that they preached to them all. They all believed, and they were all baptized. But what did they say that salvation was? Belief. Trust. Can you imagine? We know what had happened to the Philippian jailer, right? He put them in the innermost part of the prison, and the prison shook, the bonds fell off, and that old jailer was fixing to kill himself. He said, do thyself no harm. We are all here. You know what that means? None of the rest of them left either. There were all kinds of prisoners in there. But God had done a miraculous work. You know what? I believe He saved every man in that jail because you know what? If they were lost and they had a way out, they would have run like scalded dogs if they hadn't have been the Lord's, because that's our nature. We want to get away from trouble, right? But Paul says, hey, we're all here. And it turned him up so bad that he came in there trembling. What must I do to be saved? You know that come trembling and falling out, you know what that is? That's old Holy Ghost conviction. That's something that you can rely on. You know what's wrong with a 1, 2, 3 sinner's prayer? It leaves that out. It leaves God out of salvation really completely. You know it does? It puts salvation in the ability of man, and we are unable. But I'll tell you this. Seek what we've been reading. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Is that Armenian? No, that's the Bible. Look it up this week. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Because you know what? One day, believe it or not, you're not going to find Him. There'll be 7 years where He'll withdraw Himself from this earth, and He will deal with nobody but the Jew. You can take your Left Behind series and throw it in the stove when you get home, because there's no truth in it. God will not have a miraculous revival among Gentiles after we're called away. He will turn His attention back to Israel, and there'll be none of us there. So, this evening, if you've never been saved, if you've never been born again, look unto Jesus. That's the only thing I can do is point you to Him. I can't lead you through a prayer. I can't do any of that foolishness. But I can point you to one. He's sufficient, and He's able, and He will save whomsoever He will.
Thank you for joining us for the Time for Truth. Our services here at New Testament Baptist Church are Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, 11 a.m. for the Sunday preaching hour, and our midweek service begins at 7 p.m. Our building is located at 805 Nancor Drive in Dover, Tennessee, and we would love to see you there. If you're listening, we would enjoy hearing from you. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 145 in Dover, Tennessee, 37058. You can email our pastor, Brother Larry Lafferty, at preacher at clarksville.com or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/NewTestamentBaptistDover. Once again, thank you for listening and tune in next week at this same time for another Time for Truth.